we were elsewhere in the world, and you know, it impressed me. We got to go to Europe, and what's really cool about it is it was there way before we got there. It was just as cool as it ever was when we got there, way long before we got there. And I had some impressions just kind of hit me about the times that, you know, because there you see it much more obvious. I mean, we come back and we're just coming from the airport. We got new construction going on. I mean, everything looks so brand new compared to Europe, you know, where stuff there's been there since Jesus. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. And in some of these monasteries, you know, we got to go out in Lake Como where there were these monks that had occupied this little church on this point, and they finally had to leave because they couldn't sustain themselves there. And now it's this famous place where movies are done there and everything else. But the changing of the times and how through all these years that go by, it just really hit me how Jesus is just the same. The same Jesus, the same one, but how different it is to be able to have a realization that other people experience that same Jesus from a different culture and from a different perspective. And so we had the opportunity. We went to Venice for a couple days, and we had this really, the guy she was talking about, it was Hidden Gems tour. So there's a big Marx cathedral where they actually have, well, it was interesting. They did have the body of Mark. Now they don't really know if they do or not. They think it might be an imposter. Somebody stole it at some point, you know. But anyway, there's a big cathedral there, and it says Basilica. And actually, on the top of the church is not Jesus; it's Mark. So it's just interesting how things are kind of got politicized over the years. but we did have this guy that was taking it to this Hidden Gems. It was like things you normally don't see, like that big church. And some different areas like that, and you get an insights into how people lived so long ago, and how it got built in the first place, and all that kind of stuff. And even though it got religious emphasis and people over Jesus himself, you know, how Jesus was still at the core of all of the purpose for it. And in Venice itself, I think they said there was. It was built on islands, individual islands. And on each island was a church. So there's like 300 churches in Venice. 400 and some bridges, because you had to have bridges to get to the different islands and stuff. Just a lot of really interesting things. But how there's been a consistency of the times. That the times change. In the world. And I'm going to explore this a little bit today because I want to challenge us that so much of the time when you're going through a period of time, like I was just, I grew up in the 70s. We got some other 70s folks here, don't we? It's like we were on this tour and this lady said how old she was. And I said, yay, 1978. You know, that's when I graduated from high school. And she said, yeah. So, you know, it's like, When you're in the time, it seems timeless, kind of. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, bell bottoms, and you know, it's like this is what it's going to be, and it's kind of, and you almost have to accept it. Like these are the times, so we just accept them. This is what the world tells us we're going to be, and so that's what we're going to be. And so I, thinking about it and how we are today in our world even today, right? And man, we're going through some times, aren't we? There's some really interesting times, and they're really kind of perilous to some extent. I mean, it's kind of challenging what we're going through. But I want to challenge us with some times that we've been given in the presence of God that we can be, that are timeless. That we can dictate instead of be conformed. We can be transformed instead of conformed. And that we can actually affect our world. That in every time that there's been people that have propelled into that time, people that have just experienced the time, and then people that said, we're no longer going to stay in this time, but we're going to go beyond where we've been. And so I want to challenge us with this. This is not that, I mean, I spoke on this recently about this is the time we need to get serious about God, and this is going to be part of it. But this has to do with the times. It's kind of like the New York Times, right? It's like, what's going on right now, right? And so each time has its identity that you can either become a part of, or you can say, no, that's not who I am. I'm going to be who I'm, separate from that, independent from that, okay? So I want to just start off here with a couple of jokes. Do you want to hear a couple of jokes?
Sure.
This isn't really me too much, but hey, me, right? Anyway, I'm gonna compete with Mark and with, okay, all right, I'm just... I know. I'm going to read jokes, okay? This is how bad I am at jokes. I'm going to read a couple of jokes, but these are kind of funny. An 80-year-old lady was marrying for the fourth time. She had a few times in her life. The fourth time. A newspaper asked her if she wouldn't mind talking about her first three husbands and what they did for a living. She smiled and said, my first husband was a banker. Then I married a circus ringmaster. Next was a preacher. And now in my 80s, a funeral director. When asked why the four men had such diverse careers, she explained, I married one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go.
That's a good one.
That's kind of good, huh? Yeah. A young artist exhibits his work for the first time, and a well-known art critic is in attendance. The critic says to the young artist, would you like my opinion on your work? Yes, says the artist. It's worthless, says the critic. The artist replies, I know, but tell me anyway. There's certain times that we need different things, and we can either be helped by them or we can just be affected by them. So I'm going to challenge us in this. Is this good?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you have been the same. You're the good, good Father. Lord, Mark, John, Paul, all these people that have become idolized, even above Jesus, God, they are people that you actually did put your life into. You cared for them. You gave them a purpose for their life. And you were glorified through them. But Lord, we thank you that time that they were in was, they were specifically designed for and equipped for by your Spirit. But we thank you that today we have that very same Spirit. We have that very same Father. And you've quickened us. You've designed us for these times that we're in right now. Not to just be recipients and conforming to whatever happens and be affected by and just experience it, Lord God, but you have designed for us in the middle of the times that the world says are identified in a certain way, God, that you say that we can identify with some different times. And Lord, we just want to submit to the times that you give us in your presence right now. And Lord, we want to recognize that they are eternal. Lord, help us to have open hearts to this and to, Lord, to be taken to a place, God, where we are confident and where we do take our place in not just being recipients, but influencers of the times of our God. Hallelujah. Help us in this today. Reveal to us by your Spirit. Be our teacher, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, there's a book by Thomas Paine. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this. It's called The American Crisis. And it was at the beginning of the Revolutionary War. Are you familiar with this, anybody? All right. And what did he say that was so famous? These are the times that try men's souls. So there's things that we're going through that can become very affecting upon us. They can try us. And I'm so glad that when we're being tried, that we can succeed. A trial is actually a test, isn't it? It was kind of challenging. The last tour guide that we had, she kept asking us questions. And I said, I didn't know this was a test. I was supposed to know stuff. She was talking about this church that didn't have all these figures on it and stuff. And she says, does anybody know what period this came from? And it's like, just tell us. Just tell us what it is. I don't want a test. We didn't hire you for you to try us. To go on trial. We found out it was Romanesque, I guess. You just very plain, you know, and very, very simple. Didn't have a lot of the stuff that the other ones did. Anyway, but what we're going through is continually trying us in one way or another to either be affected by it, right? Or to have another approach to it. Now this is happening on a larger scale, but we have it happening in our individual lives all the time, don't we? You know, I'm so grateful for the confession that we make over our giving. We fill in the blank with what? Things that are trying us. And what are they trying? They're trying our faith, aren't they? They're trying what God has to say about things. And what are they? They're a time we're going through. Do you remember that time when we had kids? You know, do you remember that time? It was a period of time, wasn't it? It was a completely different mindset that you had. And then once you got through that, there's a different time that you go through. And they're all things that are challenge you in one way or another. Is that right? Yeah. So let me read one more quote, and then we'll get into the word here, okay? G. Michael Hoff said this. He said, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. So all the times that are in our life aren't just random. They actually came from an origination of somebody that was seeing something a certain way. If it was us, somebody else might have imposed something upon us. Is this right? So there's actually a preparation for every time, and then there's an experience of the time, and there's going to be a response to it. And I want to talk to the response that we can have in every time. Is this good? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's look at what this word, we're going to look at the word times from the Word of God. It actually is something from the Word, and comes from a word, kairos, and fire definition of this. And this is kind of what I want to look at, because sometimes, like I said, when you're going through something, it feels like it's timeless. And one of the things to really get an understanding of, everything you're going through has an end. Everything you're going through has an end. And what the enemy wants to make it feel like is it's endless. Is that right? And if he can make it look endless, it feels like it's impossible. But everything has an end in this world. Is that right? Yeah. So this first thing on here says there's a due measure. It has a certain amount of time. Is that right? Some things can be much longer. It's like, man, there's this church in Milan that took 400 years to build, and I don't even know if I believe that, because it is so massive. It's all built out of marble, and you're thinking, somebody didn't live through this whole construction. This was handed off to some people, right? It began with a vision that somebody actually created this thing out of wood, the whole thing out of wood initially. They have a little model of it that we took a picture of, but it's like, it's amazing what went into this thing. It wasn't the time of this thing and people going and visiting it right now. That was not random. It had some preparation that made it possible, right? And then there's an experience of it that can come from that. But anyway, there's a due measure that sometimes it's going to take a long time. You might have to press through some things for a while. Amen? But there's always this vision, and that's actually faith, isn't it? We believe it's ours. A measure of time, a larger or smaller portion of time, hence, a fixed and definite time, the time when things are brought to crisis, the decisive epoch waited for. That means there's been something that's been prepared for, and then it comes to fruition in its time, right? Opportune or seasonable time, the right time, a limited period of time, to what time brings the state of the times and the things and the events of time. So everything having to do with the time, but not just click clock time. This is epic. This is a period that you're experiencing. And God wants to be, and he has been. That's what's so cool. My experience of Europe is that it's like you're driving down these tiny little streets because that's all they needed, you know, 1,000 years ago. And yet, our God has been the same through all of this, right? So, I want to again define what these times are, just in a practical sense here, real quick. They come from an applied vision, diligence given to a plan, and though natural signs come from spiritual preparations. This is kind of what I want to look at specifically for us today. Because a lot of times we're looking at natural things transpiring. It's like in the world that's going on right now, what in our country, it looks like a bunch of natural things. But there's such a spiritual basis for it. So the periods we're experiencing in a natural sense, as long as we can keep them defined in that natural sense, they can seem like they're not manageable. But on the spiritual side of it is where we can touch things. Amen? They are time sensitive, and they can experience, we can experience them or we can influence them. This is where I want to challenge us all today. The natural things in our life, the larger scale, and I think we need to be a part of this in our nation right now. And how are we going to be effective in our nation is very critical to how we are approaching it in the spiritual. And there's a way for us to do that that's going to be effective. Amen? Otherwise, we just experience it. We just go through the time. God has designed us not to just be time experiencers, but time influencers, okay? So there's a way for us to do this. Let's look at Matthew 16, 1. Times have identity markers, evil versus holy, okay? One day, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. You couldn't just order Jesus to do things on the spot, could you? He wasn't just going to do something because you wanted to see it. He replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to do what? Interpret the signs of the times. So times will have an ability to be interpreted in their source. He says, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Then Jesus left them and went away. So every period of time is going to have time stamps. Again, the lady was quizzing us on which period of art this church came from, because every period of time has certain identity stamps that are on it. I grew up in the 70s, and when I met my wife, she was doing something that just was, I don't know how I was able to keep being with her. She had like longer socks, and she would take her pants and tucked them in her socks. I thought, man, that's goofy. I like her, but I just can't look down below the knees. This is unacceptable. I mean, and she tells me that this time has returned. Is that hard to believe? I mean, cowboy boots and belt buckles. I mean, that's timeless, you know. But I'm just trying to relate. I'm trying to relate to other people in the room right now. Okay. So there is an identity that goes with every time, and so I want us to be able to understand that we can identify these things and not just accept them, but accept that they have a source, that we don't have to just say that's okay. I'm not going to be moved by the way the world is going right now. Right. There's some signs of the times right now that are very perilous. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But there's a place for us to go. I don't need God to do something beyond what he's already done. And this is the danger in this right now. We can our answer to the signs of the times right now is not to pray and to desire for God to come up with something new. And we'll kind of see what he's already given us. He said, "No, I've already given you a time." And I think that's why Jesus was a little bit upset. This is Jesus, the Son of God, standing right in front of them, and he's saying, and they're asking him for a sign. That I ain't giving you. I am the sign. Yes. I'm here right now in front of you. Yeah. You know? Right. So John 16:33. So we don't have to identify with the world's times. Isn't this good? John 16:33. I've told you all this so that you will have peace of heart. Remember what Thomas Paine said? These are the times that try men's souls. Your heart can be undermined. It can be discouraged. It can be overwhelmed if you're an experiencer of times. Oh, this is just when I'm sick. This is just when I'm depressed. Have you ever just felt it coming on? You say, oh, here we go again. Has anybody ever experienced that? It's like... He says, you don't have to do that. You don't have to just say, okay, here it comes again. Yeah, right. We don't just have to say, oh, this is the state of our nation. I'm going to identify with that. No, I'm not going to identify with that. I'm not going to identify with lack. This is not a period of lack in my life. This is not a period of discouragement and inability to see where to go. Yeah. Amen? No, I've been given something else. Jesus said, here on earth, you will have many trials. Many Italians asking you about different periods and sorrows. But he says, cheer up, for I have overcome the world. He said, and what does that sound like? He said, you're going to go through times when there's tribulation. You're going to go through times when it seems like there's no end to what you're going through. You're going to go through times when it seems you're going to be put out by what you're going through. He says, but be of good cheer. There's another time that I've acquired for you that is timeless. Amen? This is going to do no good to your heart unless you are a time influencer. What you're going to do with the time that we've been given from him, he says, be of good cheer. That means you're going to be the one that influences the time that you're going through and not just receives from it, not just experiences it. This is good. Amen? Yes. Our promise from God is, okay, so... I don't know about you, but I've had a challenge with that Jesus saying, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, we've been made one with him. Amen? Yeah. Now, here's the part of this that is still up to us, though. We've been made a new creation in him, haven't we? The old is passed away. We're a new creation in him. Everything has been made new. And yet we walk around in a soul that can be disheartened. Why would Jesus say, don't let your heart be troubled? Because your heart can be troubled. And you can become affected by the times. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, what you believe is that you become one with me now. And now there's another time that you've been brought into. Man, we need to have revelation of this period that is ours. It's a period of grace, something we don't deserve in the least, something we can't acquire or earn in the least. But it's a power of God that propels us into a place of peace and rest in spite of anything else we're going through. Amen? So this is it, though. This is really cool. Acts 3:19. Now change your mind. So this is really up to us. Even though we've been given this, you know, and this is kind of what I saw even in Europe. It's kind of sad that big massive church, how ignorant a lot of the people were. They weren't actually able to read the scriptures for themselves. So what they had, I mean, they had the whole gospel message in glass, in stained glass. That would go, and you start at the bottom and you go from left to right and back, keep going up, and you could get the whole gospel message. But they weren't getting the revelation of who they were in Christ, you know? And so they were experiencing the presence. I believe they were experiencing the presence of Jesus. And he was able to make himself known as much as possible. But there were so many restrictions upon that they weren't able to actually know what we do right now. And I believe there were those that did. There had to be. All through this period of time, there had to be people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know? And I know it didn't look like we do right now exactly, but it was God in them, the hope of glory. Amen? And for us right now, we need that same thing, because I can look at that and I can think, wow, they were really ignorant. And I don't know that much more. You know, there's so much more for us to go into, because every time I yield to a time in the world around me, and let it affect my spirit and my heart and my state of mind, it doesn't matter what I know. Because the only thing that really matters is what we're going to look at right here. Are we experiencing? Now, what do we say about a time? It has a preparation, it has an experience, and it has a response. Jesus prepared a time for us. He is the preparation of a time that's endless for us. But it's up to us to experience it. Amen? And to get victory over ignorance. I can't put God in the box of the experience of life I've had and expect to know him. Amen? There has to be a new discovery of him. And it's in his presence. And it has to do with what I choose to do in my flesh. I'm so glad that we've been freed from condemnation. All those who are in Christ are free from condemnation, but he's called us to be purified for himself, because that's the time he's brought us to. And for us to actually know him and live in his presence, we're going to have to say no to things in the world. Those things are times in the world. Acts 3:19. Now change your mind and attitude to God and turn to him so he can do what? Cleanse away your sins. Aren't you glad we don't have to cleanse away our sins? We don't have to, this isn't us. No, but we just have to turn to him. The time is his presence. The time isn't our religious working trying to fix things in ourselves and become something ourselves. The time is just his face. It's actually really cool. We don't have to come up with it. And send you what? Wonderful times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. I think the King James says times of refreshing, right, in the presence of the Lord. Is that right? So what do we have in Christ that separates us from the world? It's wonderful times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Times of doing what? Experiencing this life that we have in him. And I guarantee you, if it doesn't change the look on your face, if it doesn't change the peace in your heart, you just haven't gone there yet. Amen? It has to change your countenance. It has to change everything about you. Or else, you're still kind of experiencing some other times. This is actually, I believe this is reflective of the secret place of the Most High that David talks about. Isn't this good? But what is our, that's why he says, one thing I've desired, and that's to dwell in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Amen? We've been given in the middle of this time. Right, and part of the reason why I'm saying this is this is our key to effect it. Yes. Sometimes we want to diminish it. We want to just go right to praying down heaven and cursing everything else. And you know what I mean? And our strength isn't in what we can do to the world. Our strength is where we're living right now. If we're not living in the time that we've been given in his presence, we can't affect the time around us that would be a challenge to us. We can't affect the world around us with the very glory of God if we're not going to that place in his presence. Amen? All right. His perfection makes us capable time influencers. So this is a real purpose that he has for us. When he called us into Christ, he wanted us to affect the times. He wanted us to affect. Liberty Hill needs us right now. There's a time, you know, we like to tell about how it started with a revival. Liberty Hill started with a revival. The name did, right? But it's like any revival. If it's one day old, we need more revival. You know what I mean? And there's stuff going on in Liberty Hill right now. There's political things going on. There's young people that are dying and going to hell. You know, there's things that were last year there was a lot of kids just dying randomly. There was kind of this fear of it that was really prominent. And I'm thinking, we do not need to be afraid. The answer is not in fear. Amen? And the answer is going to our place and affecting it, because we're not going to get rid of Satan. He's the God of this world. He's the God of Liberty Hill right now, but we can sure influence. We don't have to sit back and just let things go. Amen? And that will happen unless we're intentionally on our toes. And the first place we get on our toes is in his presence. Amen. He'll be the one that gives us the direction. Now may the God who brought us peace by raising the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would be the great shepherd of his flock, and by the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, may he do what? Work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. How does that happen? So much of the time we're looking to that, God, perfect me, God, perfect me. He said, just come be with me. Just experience my time. Just experience this place of refreshing in me. And you know what's going to happen to you during those times of refreshing? I'm equipping you. I'm enabling you. I'm empowering you. I'm giving you something that's beyond natural. It's supernatural. because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. I like this because it's not just fluffy stuff. It's not just, you know, flaky. Yeah. It's not flaky. No, it actually goes to the core of who we are, our ability to influence. Yeah. It's going to require a voice of boldness and confidence to be spoken at the right time. Yeah. Amen? May he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill what? Your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the anointed one, who is to receive all glory forever. So how do we affect the times around us? He says, I'm going to equip you for that. But you're going to get that in my presence. And the times are refreshing. There's going to be an equipping for you to become something that you would not be otherwise. We need to expect this. We need to see it by faith. Amen? And to say, God, what do you have for me to do this day? How do you want me to step out from beyond what I've seen myself doing before? Because I'll tell you, one of the biggest challenges, I know most of us today are churchgoers. And we can just get used to just being what we are. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I believe God wants to call us out of that. He says, no, there's times going on. We get so used. I know. I grew up this way. It's like, come out from among them and be ye separate and just let the world go to hell while you go to heaven. And, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And he says, no, I've called you to be the light. I've called you the light. But to be that, you're going to have to be in me. You're going to have to make your pursuit my presence. What should we be able to say anytime somebody asks you, so what's going on in your life today? I don't know. I'm experiencing the refreshing of his presence. So, amen? Because this is the time that we live in. This is the time of redemption. This is the time of grace that causes us to be a time influencer. Not a time conformer. Amen? Our time's in him, preparing for his plans and times. So he says, I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to equip you for this. But look, he has a plan. So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, that's taken care of. We're on the right side. Amen?
Yeah.
We can have real peace with him. Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. For because of our faith, he has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has in mind for us to be. God has some plans. You know, I'm grateful for the scripture that says, I know the plans I have for you. They're to prosper you. How in the world does that happen? He's not going to impose his plans upon us. They're going to be discovered during times of refreshing in his presence. Amen?
Yes.
They happen here corporately. And I want to encourage us in this because remember what it says, and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the pattern of such is. And it says, especially when you're experiencing the last days, the times, because there's a necessity of experiencing him that happens when we come together. Is that right?
Yes.
So important. And I'm grateful for each other.
Good.
Aren't you grateful?
Yes.
Matthew 17:20. Are y'all good here this morning?
Yes.
We're time influencers. Amen. That's what he's called us to be. He's drawing us every time we're worshiping him, every time we're laying our lives down before him and say, I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice before you, because you're just so awesome. And I like what you do in my life, and I like how I'm enabled in you. Amen? And then we step out there on the stage. Matthew 17:20. Our role is to influence times. He told them, it was because of your lack of faith, I promise you. If you have faith inside of you, no bigger than the size of a small mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move away from here and go over there, and you will see it move. There's nothing you couldn't do. What is that? That's dictating some things, isn't it? That's influencing some things, right? You know, this is kind of a big deal, but I want to challenge us in this. When it comes to influencing, it might not be speaking to a mountain like this, but can you imagine yourself talking to a mountain in this regard? Like the moments right before you do it? Man, I'm fixing to talk to a mountain. Whoa, what if it doesn't move? Right? I'll tell you what, even if I can just be transparent a little bit, every time I get up here to share, I'm like, God, what if nothing comes out of my mouth that makes any sense at all? Because there's this element of if it's not God, this ain't happening. Is that right? And that's how influence is made. When you're going beyond yourself, your own ability to do something, and there's going to be an element of risk. There's going to be an element of stepping out from what feels comfortable because you cannot have confidence in yourself and it be God. So it implies that you're going to be insecure in yourself, which is not a bad thing. But it's going to require stepping out at some point. And there might be some, not call it fear, but wondering what's going to happen when you actually do this. It's kind of like Peter, remember with the lame man at the gate, and he says, I don't have anything, any gold or silver here, but such as I have, I give you, and in the name of Jesus. So what would have happened if nothing would have happened? You know what I mean? And how do you get beyond that hesitation? How do you get beyond that? Well, you've been enjoying the refreshing of his presence. You're living in a time that is not the world's time. You cannot be affected by the fear of the world and make that step into the realm of faith, declaring a mountain to move.
That's right.
If you've been living in the times of the world,
that's right.
You have to live in the times that we've received in Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Times of refreshing there in him will cause you to step out of the realm of the comfortable and to become an influencer and not just a receiver, an experiencer. Amen? All right, and I like this part. We're ending. We're coming to the end here. Because what I love about this is when you begin to live in the timeless time that we've received in Christ, you're actually becoming a preparer for the way of the Lord. Amen? Because now, there's a time that's coming. Actually, we're already in it. You're stepping into it. When we go to him and we let go of all the junk in the world that would dominate us and say, no, you're bound in that. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm going into this. Right? When you let go of attitudes, when you let go of insecurities that the world would put upon you, and you step into the security that you have in Christ, amen? What you're doing is you're stepping into a time that will not end. It defies ends. And what I love about this is there's an experience where we can look forward to with Christ. We're going to rule and reign with him. Amen? But who gets to do this? It's the ones that aren't affected by the other times. Amen? I'm so glad that we get to right now, and let's be determined in this next. We have less than a month to affect our nation. And I encourage us, let's pray in the Spirit. But before we pray for anything else, let's go and experience a time of refreshing in his presence. Can we do that? That same Spirit that sustained all through the what is it, over 2,000 years now, right? That sustained people all through this time. He's here right now to take us into that same timeless grace. Amen? And in doing so, as small as we are in this company right now, it's powerful. You know, we just watched this movie, and it had to do with light versus darkness. And darkness is prevalent until the exact moment of light. And it doesn't take a whole bunch of light. Just takes a little bit, doesn't it? Just a flame of light. And darkness cannot remain. Amen? You know, we get this revelation of who we are in Christ. We get the revelation of this time we've been brought into and how we can influence it by living in it. Amen? You live in the light. You walk in the light. You have fellowship with him and with one another. And now you influence where you used to just put up with. Amen? There's mountains of sickness. There's mountains of disease. There's mountains of ignorance that will be dispelled by us having our fellowship with the one who purchased us with his blood. Amen? This is who we are. This is what we've been given. He's taken us into a time that's going to transcend our time on this earth. Amen? Let's read this. Then at last, they will reverence and glorify the name of God from west to east. The only place it's taking place right now is in the hearts of people who have had revelation of him and has accepted it, right? But you know what? This is what we're getting into. When we start to experience the time of his presence, it's something that's going to take us into this prophecy right here. Amen? For he will come like a flood tide driven by Jehovah's breath. He will come as a redeemer to those in Zion who have turned away from sin. As for me, this is my promise to them, says the Lord. My Holy Spirit shall not leave them, and they shall want the good and hate the wrong. They and their children and their children's children, how long? Forever. Amen. I'm so glad this has to do with the end, but I'm so glad that I can lay claim right now. This is who I am right now. Amen. And when the enemy comes in, I have a response. I have a prepared response from the one who bought me. And now, the experience I have in his presence dispels every other experience of any other time that's going on in the world around me. Amen? Oh, let's take our place in this. Let's honor his presence. Amen? And then, let's get bold. Let's get bold and let's step out in front of mountains and say, I'm not going to worry about whether or not, because I've been looking at the one who makes sure it happens. Amen? And now I'm going to declare things where I would never have before because I've been in his face. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this today. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is here right now, hovering over everything that we're doing, everything that has been spoken. And Father, I thank you that by the Holy Spirit, there's a revelation of that face of Jesus that we're talking about, that union with Jesus and the Father that we can know right now because of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we just receive that right now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Can we sing that, Hunter? I think it's in D, right? Hallelujah. Pastor Kim, you want to help me? Can we sing this again? Can we stand up and just worship him? And again, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit that we're experiencing these times. So really what we're talking about here this morning is something that we're familiar with already. How many are familiar with this, right? Every time we experience his anointing, every time we experience his presence. But let's see that there's a purpose in it. It's beyond just enjoyment. There's empowerment. Taking us into a time of effect, because God has a purpose. We should never come away from a time of worshiping him that is not more empowered, that we're not seeing something else. He wants to take us into a vision. I'm so grateful for everything that took place while we were gone. Thank you, Levi, for sharing. Lindsay, what she shared was so powerful on faith, amen? And there's a need for us to step into actually utilizing these things to affect our world around us. Amen? And let's just intentionally say, every day I'm growing in this. And especially when we come together, let's leave empowered. That's what his presence is for. It's not to just decide whether we liked an idea that was presented. Amen? It's to be transformed. Amen? And this is the time we're offered from him that will lift us out of every other time, no matter what it is in this world around us. All those things that will end, we don't have to be dominated by them in the least. Amen. Hallelujah.